You're listening to your community radio station, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Molawa'a, K284AL Hale'iva. It's time for In the Garden, on the Farm. Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Paul and Robin, and on today's show, we'll whet our curiosity on the Go Farm Hawaii program. Turn up the volume on a root vegetable that's having its day in the sun at local farmers markets, and cover all the bases on pulling off a successful seed crop. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is brought to you by listeners just like you in partnership with our generous underwriters. Aloha, Robin.
Aloha, Paul.
How's it going today?
It's excellent.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're here to discuss gardening, farming. We're focusing on seeds this month. We've got a special guest in the studio, and so we're going to jump right into it, not waste a moment of time. We'll look to the skies above in our celestial session for guidance and inspiration in our planting and harvesting practices. And we will look first at the traditional Hawaiian knowledge, and we give thanks to the 2015 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, which is a Hanalei Watershed Hui publication. They're currently out in the shops. And if you want to know where you can get a printed copy of the calendar, call Maka'ala at the Hanalei Watershed Hui office at 808-826-1985. We also want to thank the Astronomical Applications Department of the U.S. Naval Observatory for the detailed timing information on our moon. Today's Hawaiian moon, Ole Kukolu. And this is in the Ho'onui, or Rising Anahulu, the first week in the Hawaiian moon month. Ole Kukolu will rise over Kauai today at 1:36 p.m. She'll reach her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 8:17 p.m. tonight, and she'll set at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. 68% of the moon's beautiful face will be illuminated. And we just experienced the first quarter moon on Monday. That was at about 6:48 p.m. The mana'o for Ole Kukolu, it's the third of four Ole moons, and it is considered an unproductive planting time. There are a lot of productive planting days in the month, but the Ole moons that come in the beginning and the end of the cycle are not good times for that. So it's a good preparation day recommended for weeding.
Yeah, I've actually, after all this time of listening to us talk about the moons, I've started to see a pattern develop.
Really?
And what I'm noticing is that those Ole moons tend to fall on the first quarter and the third quarter moons.
That's right.
They're hovering around those. And so there's two times of the month around those quarter moons that are just not necessarily productive. And as more is revealed to me, as I absorb it, I'll want to, you know, discuss more deeply about some of those. But that pattern has definitely emerged for me so far. It's pretty cool to watch. Now I find myself in the early mornings looking for the moonrise so that I can guess which moon it is.
Yeah, beautiful. That's the way to learn for sure. And now we will complement the Hawaiian moon system with the biodynamic look at things.
That's right.
Thanks to Robin.
Today and through Friday, the moon will be in Taurus, an earth sign, making it time to work with our root plants, although the moon is still ascending during those days, so we will do weeding or pruning type activities. But starting on Saturday, the descending moon phase begins and planting time begins as well. So Saturday and Sunday, the moon will be in Gemini, an air sign, making it a good time to work with flowering plants or potentially fruit plants, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show today. And Monday, Tuesday next, the moon will move into Cancer, a water sign, making it a good time to work with our leaf plants. And as we're getting into transition time here. Spring will be springing on us before we know it. It definitely arrives much earlier here in the subtropics, I've noticed. And with the lengthening days really kicking in now, spring will be here. So transition plantings, we'll talk a little bit more about those in the future too. What kinds of plants are good in these in-between times?
Mm-hmm. We've been having a beautiful dry weather winter, as was predicted because of the El Nino effect, and this is going to be a great time for saving seeds. We might have just a stellar year for seed saving, and we're going to get into some details to help you guide you through that process coming up. And first, however, here on In the Garden on the Farm, we're going to jump into some notable news, and we're joined by a special guest in the studio to share the good news with us. We're joined by Eric Hansen from the Go Farm Hawaii program.
Aloha kakou. How are you guys? Thank you for having me here today.
It's great to have you.
It's great to have you. I'm going to embarrass you a little bit by sharing a little bit of information with our listeners. Eric is from Umauma on the Hilo side of the Big Island. He's got a Master's of Science in Tropical Conservation Biology and Environmental Science, and lots of other credentials that not only from an academic standpoint, but from real-world farming experience, farming, commercial taro farming, orchard production, sales. He knows a lot about plants from a botanical standpoint, from a common-sense horticultural standpoint, and he is also a volunteer programmer here at KKCR. You might have heard his show, Soul Shakedown Party, which airs every other Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. So he's keeping us rocking and rolling, and he's going to keep us growing some fertile crops here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Go Farm Hawaii program, now in its second year on the island of Kauai, but why don't you share some of the history of the program with us and what you're going to bring to it this year?
So the Go Farm Hawaii project is a program brought in part by the U.S. Department of Labor in partnership with system, Kamehameha Schools, Ulupono Initiative, and the U.S. U.S. Department of Agriculture. And the idea is to foster rural development through building strong communities, through having a strong agricultural force, labor force. So in order to kind of facilitate that, the program's designed to kind of get people really trained up on practical skills, just the real practical stuff that you really need for succeeding in agriculture, in terms of not just the growing side, the science of growing things and managing crops, but also the business aspect. Because, there's definitely a strong consensus that people like to grow, and, people can do that, but sometimes there's some nuances to getting things out of the farm and to a broader aspect. And so GoFarm is a non-for-credit course through the university system here at KCC to help foster farmers. And we're going to be having a four-month course where we're going to be doing a month of touring around different farms around the island. And then we're going to do a three-month kind of intensive training session where we do once a week. We have special guest lecturers throughout the islands that are special expertise experts in different areas of agriculture come in and talk story about things that are important to know about growing. And in a combination with that, we're going to have a kind of a learning laboratory where we have a big farm plot where each of the participants in the Go Farm program will be able to raise several crops over a three-month period to apply all the knowledge that they're getting in their talk story sessions to a practical application. And the idea is that having the skill sets of learning everything from soil fertility management to integrated pest management and understanding a business plan and marketing aspects that these people that participate in the program will be able to go out on their own or maybe collaborate, work with others, become community leaders and providing food to our island. And so the idea is, at least in my mind, that those who come out with the knowledge of the course will either be able to take their knowledge of their little small plot at KCC and expand it to quarter acre, acres, acres, and acres, or just have a super killer backyard garden. And, you know, the program is production oriented, and production can be in many different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be, sending stuff off to the mainland. It absolutely could be, and I think that's a great thing to do. But there's many different ways of looking at it, and production goes as far as just 100% staying away from the store and feeding your own family.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple questions for you. It seems like those sample plots that the students or participants will use, there's kind of a built-in marketing thing going on right there at KCC on Saturday mornings.
Absolutely.
With the farmers market.
Absolutely.
So that's a really nice aspect that they'll know straight off the bat, at least with that first crop, that they've got a venue which to sell them.
Right. And so the program has been really successful over at the Windward Community College. It's kind of first started over there, and it's kind of really developed. And what we'd like to see the program at here on Kauai is kind of get to the level of what's going on over on Oahu, if not better, because, you know, we can always do better than Oahu because we're Kauai. But anyway, over on Oahu, They've been able to expand having farm plots available for the program, and they've found land with the College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources Extension area over in Waimanalo. And so beyond what we have here on Kauai with our three or four month kind of ag school incubation program is that they have like a 2 year more long term lease where they have participants can have about a half acre of land.
Yeah.
To just really kind of develop their skill set and on a free basis, essentially, just really get things rolling. And over there, the program has gotten so good that the guys that are in the 2 year kind of program are have like a CSA kind of thing going on.
Excellent.
And they're selling to the restaurants, and it's kind of like a label already that it's like, oh, the Gold Farm guys over on Windward College, that's like their thing. And so there's certain restaurants that are already like, oh, we're labeling it as Gold Farm, heirloom lettuces or whatever. So, the thing is the program here at Gold Farm on Kauai is, still in its young stage, but the idea is that, you know, we're going to get the ball rolling here and really just kicking butt, and we're just going to grow plenty of farmers. We're just trying to cultivate the future so that those that are, you know, ag curious or just kind of starting or maybe, you know, are kind of a little bit into it but just need a little bit more practical skill set and exposure, you know, they can just run with it and kill it. So
sure. Well, one of the hardest parts, I mean, you may be an impassioned grower and really excited and have so much energy to tend the plants, but the startup cost of just having a piece of land to work from, it can really stop a lot of
young people.
I think, from wanting to get into it because leases are expensive. So this is a really great way to incubate, so to speak. I'm curious, in the program, is there any curriculum around what it takes to actually export the product, or
so we have
dealing with value-added type products as well?
We have several people that throughout the state that kind of are kind of more on a business ag aspect. There's a person named Stephen Chang who's kind of one of the bigger players in that Gold Farm program, and he also runs a program through the College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources over on Oahu called Agrobusiness, and they kind of really focus in on the marketing aspects of stuff, and it's kind of a component of the program that those who go through the ag school program that we have here at KCC, that they can kind of go talk with Stephen and kind of like have a more of a business consulting kind of thing. And that's a service that is kind of for free, that's kind of worked through the program that's available for them. And Stephen will be coming in during our program between the days of April and July. I haven't it confirmed yet, but he'll be coming in and talking Storia for a day or so and hosting a workshop on that as well. But the program is designed to have that service available so that once you're, you know, go through the initial stages, that you can kind of have like a consult, like a free business consultant that's really kind of up on par with agriculture. And Stephen has a tremendous amount of business experience, both on the mainland and here in Hawaii and the Pacific Islands at large. So he kind of has that greater dynamic feeling of how things can run besides just running the farm from the aspects of fertility and understanding the crops. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. We're speaking with Eric Hansen of the Go Farm Hawaii program here on Kauai. It's being held through the Office of Continuing Education and Training at Kauai Community College. And one of the great strengths of the program through KCC, it being part of the UH program, which you were just touching on, is the wealth of experienced people in all areas of agriculture, in this case, that can come and be resources, whether they come and be a lecturer in the program, or maybe it's just somebody who you are able to reach out to when you have a question about some of the specifics of everything from the science of farming to the business of farming to right. So many aspects. That's a great value that the University of Hawaii brings. And I want to give acknowledgement to Catherine O'Brien, who ran the program last year, but Eric's taking the reins this year, and this guy's got a lot of enthusiasm. He came out to the Hawaii Farmers Union United meeting last Wednesday, and he definitely lit the crowd on fire with his common sense approach. He's got a great sense of humor. This guy does not take himself too seriously, but it's obvious that he knows his stuff. I visited Eric out at the campus yesterday. They've got a great big area for cultivating. And from my experience over there in Puhi, things grow well when you take care of the soil. I know you guys are going to be focusing in on all those details. They've got the tools. They've got the amendments. They're going to have it together. So it seems like you guys are really ready. Why don't you share a few of the details on dates and different ways people can be involved?
Well, we're going to have a seminar that will be happening this coming Tuesday, February 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m., which will be at the Kauai Community College OSET building, which is right there in the front, right next by the bookstore. It will say Office of Continuing Education and Training. We're going to have all kinds of flyers and banners and bells and whistles and clowns and elephants and all that kind, and, you know, circus, you know, whatever is. So yeah, you're not gonna be able to miss it. You know, I'm gonna have all kinds of funny people pointing and be like, oh, this way, you know, we're gonna have fireworks. So you cannot miss it. It's gonna be jamming. But, so this free seminar is to really get, people, just super excited. You know, if you're like, oh, yeah, thinking about farming. Well, if you're thinking about farming, why don't you come down to this seminar? So we're gonna have, couple of different farmers that are really successful here on the island come talk story about, you know, what it really takes to be one farmer, you know, and what they kind of had to do to get started, what's the, kind of their philosophy on things, you know, or what to do, what not to do, you know, just so that guys are, oh, yeah, maybe this is for me, or maybe this isn't for me, maybe I need to rethink my way about doing things. And there's all kinds of different ways to approach, you know, growing food. But, you know, so we're going to have all these kinds of couple of farmers come in, talk story. We're also going to have a couple of different government agencies that help out farmers come talk about the services they provide. So it's, you know, it's really important for people that are trying to get started in farming or just to sustain themselves in farming to understand the ways that they can really work within the system to be successful farmers, because, you know, the government, believe it or not, wants to see you succeed and wants to see food security. No matter how much hoopla there's about, oh, you know, the man's after us, like, no, you know, yeah, whatever, but there's the government really wants us to grow food. And so, you know, there's all these resources. And so we're going to have the federal government's Natural Resource Conservation Service come in and talk about some of the services they can offer for farmers and their farming practices. We're going to have the Soil Water Conservation District come in and talk about some of the services they offer and some of the things that would be helpful for you as a farmer. Mm. We're also going to have the Farm Service Agency come in, which is a branch of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which helps out with loans and stuff like that for farmers at really good rates, you know, to help them, you know, acquire equipment and materials and even land and stuff like that. So we're going to, you know, have, you know, a gamut of guys come in and at least, you know, give some really good resources to people. And at that meeting, we're going to also have a sign up for those who really, really want to get involved in the program. You can also sign up through the OSET office, which I'll talk about in a moment. But at the program, we're really trying to get people registered right there. Mm-hmm. And so
we're talking Tuesday, February 10th from 6 to 8 p.m.
Correct.
And it's going to be there at the Kauai Community College campus, at the OSET building, room 106.
Correct.
And that's the new OSET building
up front. That's the new, right in the front there by the bookstore. So that's going to be from 6 to 8 on February 10th.
Very cool.
And then, for those that really want to, you know, pursue the Go Farm program, we're going to, you know, have people, apply for the program, if you will, because there might be way more people than we can accommodate, but we're going to try to accommodate everyone. And don't worry, we're all going to work together. I'm not going to leave anyone, you know, behind, but we just got to figure things out. But, we're going to have, after our seminar, from February 21st through March 28th, we're going to be doing tours around the island, which we're calling Ag Exposure. It's going to be on either Saturdays or Sundays, depending on the availability of the farmer, where we're going to go to tour their farm, talk story with them, go work with them, really kind of understand what it takes to do the kind of work that they do, so that, you know, we're going to go around and people will understand different types of styles of farming, so that if you're really thinking about farming, you can be like, oh, this is the kind of farming I want to do, or this is not the kind of stuff I want to do, or, oh, maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of that is the way that farming should be done. Yeah. You know, it's all up to you. There's no agenda behind the program. The idea is just to give people as much exposure and good knowledge as possible to just make them really just awesome farmers, you know. So we're gonna have our tour of other farms, our program that's being called Ag Exposure. It's gonna be from February 21st through March 28th, and that's gonna be on Saturdays or Sundays. And then our final component, which we're really gonna, you know, drill in all the practical things and all the bells and whistles and all the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo yee-haws that make you, you know, be a good farmer. And that's in our ag school, which is going to be from from April 16th through July 25th. And that's going to be on Thursday nights from 6 to 8, which is going to be our kind of talk story lecture component, where we're going to have either myself, you know, tell a bunch of jokes and talk real serious about farming, or have a bunch of really good experts throughout the state, which we're going to have a combination of both, just kind of come in and talk about all the nuances of farming, whether it's from the business side or the science side. And then on Saturdays, we're going to be running our crops and running our farm from 8 to about 2:30, or till you just can't do it anymore. And, but, you know, we're looking for people to that are really dedicated, that are looking to do more than just a 2-day a week commitment. Cause if you're one farmer, you know, you don't have a social life besides going to the farmer's market and socializing with people, then that's about as
no kidding
fun as it gets. And, you know, I've kind of been a social misfit throughout my 20s, just not really hang out on Saturday nights and instead washing the rambutans for Sunday mornings, you know. So, but if that's the kind of style you want to be, then, you know, this program is for you. You know, we're really just trying to help you guys kick butt at farming. And there is a small kind fee. It's a really great program, and if anyone wants to be involved, you can call the office of Continuing Education at 245-8318. Or you can check out the website kauai.hawaii.edu/training. And then there's, you just kind of follow the tutorials there. There's something with saying online, or not online courses, but
on-site courses,
correct.
Yep. Yep.
So
great. And while we can't mention prices, in my opinion, when I saw how much the program cost, I was shocked at what a good value to me, in my opinion, it seemed to be.
Yes.
I was shocked at how little it cost.
The idea is not to scare away anyone, and we want to promote as many people as possible to go at it and farm, because we all know that is the past and that is the future, and it's the only way to go. So come check us out. Go farm. We got gofarmhawaii.org. If you guys have any other interest, you can give me a call at 245-0129 or send me an email at ewhansen, that's Hansen, at hawaii.edu. And if you really want to stalk me, I guess you guys can call me on my cell phone at 896-2793. GoFarmHawaii.org. That's always your starting interface from there. And we got Facebook and Twitter. And come to the seminar. We're going to have stickers. I got stickers, and you guys can, put them all over your trucks and be cool. And, it's going to be the hip thing. And we're going to have T-shirts and seeds. Yeah, how's that?
Yeah.
Seeds and food for people, because that's the whole idea. More than anything else, we're going to be giving food. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Mahalo. Thank you for having me.
Please join us for the rest of the show if you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Feel free to jump in where you like, and we'll recap briefly at the end of the show the Go Farm Hawaii program returning to KCC this spring, and very exciting news. This is In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts Paul and Robin. We're here until 1 o'clock. We want to encourage you to stay tuned at that time for Kauai Vibrations from 1 to 3. 3 to 5, it's Shaka Kayaka with the Papule Show. Sure love that show. And plenty more good programming. And then coming up Saturday night, we've got Eric and the Soul Shakedown Party. And it's this Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Yes, indeed.
8 to 10.
So if you have some shaking needs, they will be addressed. Right now, we're going to jump into the fresh picked section of the farmer's market.
Yeah, we'll shake down the farmer's market.
Take us there, Robin.
Right now. Well, I've got a cool season special vegetable to talk about, turnips. Turnips are so tasty. These are not the lifeless, dead, mushy things that your mom used to feed you. These are delicious. They're young, tender, white roots. They're great raw or stir-fried in soup. They're low-calorie. They're high in vitamin C. But really, it's the turnip tops that you're after. Really? Turnip tops have 2 to 3 times more vitamins and minerals than the actual turnips themselves. Turnip tops, I lived on them for a part of my life when I was in college. Love them. I'll just tell you, sautéed with a little garlic and onion, some baked beans. I lived on that when I was in college, and it was very inexpensive and really good for you. The tops are high in vitamin A, C, and vitamin K, and also lutein, which is really good for our eyes. So when you're at the market, you want to look for white unblemished roots with really nice tops intact, because you're going to want to eat both of them. And when you bring them home, remove the tops and eat those right away if you can. Stir fry them up as I suggested, as they will take nutrients out of the roots if you leave them on the roots. And then the roots can be used. I actually also slice the roots and use them as crackers with dips, just raw like that. And they can be pickled really deliciously as well. But one of my favorite turnip recipes is sliced raw with black olives and cherry tomatoes, a little olive oil and vinegar, and I tell you, some crusty bread, and you're in there. So, yeah, it's lunchtime. We're
Marvelous.
Getting hungry, you can tell. And check out the turnips at the farmer's market. They're not there for long. They are definitely a late winter, early spring crop. You won't see them once the weather gets warm again. So get them while you can.
Awesome. And how about that for a seed crop, Robin? Do they go to seed here in the Hawaiian Islands?
You know, I have not tried it, but I would bet you anything, because they're fast, that they'll set seed a lot faster. I know I've tried radishes, mainly the red meat or the watermelon radish, but they have such a long gestation period that often the root itself is completely gone and the plant barely hangs on by the time it flowers and makes seeds.
Right.
But I have a feeling turnips would probably do a little better. So if any of our listeners want to give that a shot, we're going to talk to you next about how to grow a great seed crop, not necessarily turnips, but we have some other plants in mind to talk about.
Yes. So we focus in each and every week on some of the planting calendars, the Hawaiian Moon, the biodynamic. Robin makes lots of good suggestions on things you might do, whether you're planting, harvesting, pruning, many different aspects. We wanted to combine some of the knowledge of the Hawaiian system and the biodynamic system in a real-world example for those of you who have been following along this month on our focus on seeds, and with our hope always that we're inspiring more people on Kauai and throughout the Hawaiian Islands to grow crops to seed, to be island adapting these crops to our local conditions. And we've picked a couple of crops that are really good as starters, in part because they are self-pollinating crops. And Robin actually selected these for us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, before we get into that, I say we give just a little bit of basic information about seed saving in general, and then we'll go to our real-world examples and some suggested ideal planting and harvesting times for a couple of plants. But if we're going to talk just purely about seed saving, this is something we've mentioned before, that seed saving starts before you even plant, and that starts with variety selection. So you want to pick the right plant to start with. And what that means for us in really basic level is we want no F1 or hybrid plants as our starting variety selection, as those are a cross between two parental strains. And when we save seeds from F1s, we basically get either reversions back to either parent or some other bizarre combination that maybe doesn't look exactly like what we want.
Now, before we have any experts calling in on the line, yes, we know about the concept of breaking hybrids, where you can grow them out for various successive generations to actually arrive back at the parental lines and stabilize it into an open pollinating variety. But that's a pretty complicated process. And we're starting with the basics here, folks. So we're going for heirloom open pollinated seed as our starting point.
That's correct. And you basically want to cultivate perfect plants in a population that is appropriate for whatever it is that you're growing. And as we get into our examples, we'll give you the details about the plants we've chosen. But perfect plants, basically great soil prep, gorgeous foliage, everything about the plant. We're not no disease pressure. And ultimately, you're going to grow out an amount of these plants, and then you're going to tag the best of them. And those will become your seed plants. And what I mean by tag is either sticking a little flag next to that plant when they're all in their full glory of growing, and you see your five best, say, lettuces. You want to put a little flag next to those, knowing that the best plants are going to be the ones that you save for seed. And I know that goes against some of the sort of common sense as we know it today, that we want to eat the best one. But guess what? It just doesn't work out that way. If you want to collect really good seed, we don't get to eat the best one. We let the best one go forward to be the mother or father or parent of our next plants.
That's right. So once we've selected our strongest plants for the desirable qualities, including the vigor of the growth, the low incidence of pest and disease pressure, we've made sure we have a healthy population structure, which again is why we're leading you as beginners back to the self-pollinating crops. But we're going to select and collect those viable seeds at the right timing. where we are sure that we have really, really good maturity of the seed, which will ensure good viability or ability to germinate over a long period of time and have the most vigorous plants, resulting in the healthiest plantlets and food coming up for the next generation.
That's right. And we also would like to let you know, and we'll address this more later on, but the first seed is the best seed. The first fully mature seed is the best seed that you'll collect mm-hmm. off of the plant. As the plant is dying, basically, as it's producing seeds, the later seeds that are produced have less vigor than the very first seeds that the plant produces.
Right.
So exactly. Keep that in mind.
Yes. Yes, you'll note that oftentimes the runt in a litter is born last when the nutrients ran out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then there's, of course, seed cleaning. Once you do collect mature seed, depending on the plants, that will vary. The process will vary, mm-hmm. but we want to remove any plant material, fuzz, or little bits, because what happens in storage is those things have more of a chance of getting funguses or molds and then could indeed affect your great seed. So we want to make sure the seed is very clean. And I'm a huge proponent of also grading the seed. I know it's very tedious work, and I might be very alone in this, but I really do like to lay all the seed out on a plate and take the largest ones. Those are going to be my best. Uh-huh. The smaller seeds I might put in a little seed mix with other smaller seeds and grow out a little quick mesclun crop or something that I'm just going to harvest young. And so it's not that they go to waste, but
right.
I like to collect the biggest, fattest seeds to go onward.
And if you've been successful in your cultivations, you will have plenty of that big fat seed, and the number of seeds that you winnow out will be fewer. With some crops like carrot, for instance, it's going to be worthwhile to save even the lower grade seed for a carrot crop. But if you're really putting and dividing the seed collection into at least a couple of parts, you're going to have that A-type seed, which you know that when you're planning on growing out the next seed crop, it's definitely going to come from that A-list seed. And thanks to nature, there's always an abundance of seed created. And so as you're learning the timing of your harvest, and knowing that many plants are indeterminate in quality, which means that they produce their fruit over an extended period of time rather than all at once. This is nature's way to ensure that seeds will fall and germinate when the environmental conditions allow for the reproduction of that plant. It might be useful to see the first seed, best seed, is generally in place. You may find that particular plants, based on the environmental characteristics or qualities, might have really get into production after a period of time, too. So it's good to harvest on multiple occasions and compare your results.
Exactly. And then we basically organizing our A seed from our B grade seed, so to say, brings us into seed storage, which is equally important, is collecting really good mature seed and cleaning it well and then drying it properly becomes the next step in line. Mm-hmm. Even though a seed may look dry right off the plant, say a bean, it's not really dry enough to seal up into storage, and you want to go through a drying process. Do you want to describe that process, Paul?
Sure. So at the Kauai Community Seed Bank, we use silica gel, an easily acquired material, non-toxic. If you get the right kind, you want to get the beads instead of the shards. The shards are more commonly available for making dried flower arrangements. And some of the dyes that are used in there can be toxic, so you want to make sure you get a non-toxic variety of silica gel bead. And these basically wick moisture away from the seed in a sealed container. These silica gel beads do have a finite ability to adsorb moisture, so they do need to be regenerated by sticking them in the oven at a low temperature over a period of time. Time varies depending on how much of the silica gel you have and how sort of thick the layer of silica gel is in the container that you have in the oven. But we shoot for a 200 degree Fahrenheit temperature, and it takes us in our toaster oven about an hour to do a tray that's maybe about an inch thick of silica gel beads. We mix it in between times, and that'll keep them charged up and ready to do the drying process. You want to use about an equal weight of the silica gel for per the seed weight when it's wet. And if you don't have silica gel, you can also use rice. You just want to stick the rice in an oven because it's going to be also kind of moist. Humidity-wise, it won't appear to be moist. But you want to stick it in an oven, get it super dry, then stick that in maybe a time and a half or double the weight of rice to the weight of the wet seed to dry out the seed.
And just want to recommend letting the desiccant or rice cool down completely before putting it in the box, and also not putting any physically wet seeds, say pumpkin seeds that you've just washed up after taking out of the fruit. You want them to be ambiently dry and not have a lot of moisture clinging to them when you put them in this sealed box with the desiccant. It'll make the desiccant's job a bit easier.
If you're growing beans or other crops that are easily infested by insects and you see some insect damage, or even if you don't see it, there may be insects ready to hatch. We use diatomaceous earth as a solution for this. If we see insect damage, we'll dust our seeds with this fine white powder, diatomaceous earth, a non-toxic ground shell flour from ancient marine single-celled marine organisms. Has many health benefits as well for both livestock and human use, but it also acts as an insecticide by killing the insects mechanically, not through any sort of toxic chemical effect, but only because it dries them out. So this is a good way and is actually used in grain storage. So a lot of the grains you eat actually have a little bit of diatomaceous earth on it, but it's safe to eat if it's food grade. But anyway, checking for pest and disease damage and treating if necessary can be a very valuable technique.
This is why I like to grade my seeds, because when I'm grading the bean seeds, I'm really looking them over and I can see if there's a weevil hole in there. And I personally will just, cook that up for dinner. Kidding.
So finally, when we've got good dry seed, we want to store it properly. We want to use a sealed container. A lot of people store their seeds in plastic bags. A lot of those plastic bags will breathe, actually, and it's good to get a nice tight-fitting, airtight container. Canning jars are a really easy way to meet that solution. There are other containers that tout themselves as hermetically sealed or airtight, so you want that kind of a container. It's a great benefit as well to store your seeds in refrigerated temperature. Some people freeze their seeds, which in many cases is fine, and the seed will last even longer. However, there are some cases when you thaw the seed out that you can damage the seed. So a properly dried seed at refrigerated temperature can last for many, many years. It really depends on the variety of plant you're looking at. Some seeds are quite short-lived. Other ones will last for hundreds of years. So get to know your crop. There are some great resources out there. Seed to Seed is a wonderful book on seed saving, the classic tome. Many other great seed saving books available. And check them out on the internet if you want more information. There's so many free publications on the science and practical application of seed saving, but these are just some of the basic techniques that Robin and I use with pretty good success. And keep your seeds fresh, keep them away from heat, away from light, and they will be your friends for many years to come. And I want to put in a plug, too, for your local community seed bank. The Kauai Community Seed Bank is currently processing our voluminous collection. And if you're interested in volunteering, we're on the northeast corner of the island. We meet on Thursdays and Mondays by appointment. So the number 652-4118 for more information. Volunteer days 10 to 3, and locations and more information available by giving us a call at 808 652-4118.
Yeah, I got to say, the Ethiopian kale seeds that I received from the Kauai Community Seed Bank are 2 years now. They're from 2013, and I just germinated a first round for some early plantings. And not only is every seed big and plump and beautiful, but they are germinating perfectly. And the seedlings, the zygotes, I call them, are just, they're just such fat little leaves that it's just really primo seed. So we really are lucky here on Kauai to have a resource like the Kauai Community Seed Bank. And I want to thank you, Paul, for your complete dedication of keeping that going for all of us. And I know that you love it when volunteers come and help. And I just really appreciate you for holding that beacon really strong all this time.
Thanks so much. I sure have been helped by many, many people, and looking forward to collaborating with more, helping to share the abundance of this beautiful island. It's no wonder that the large agrochemical corporations have set up their seed operations here on Kauai. We have some really exceptional seed growing conditions here, and yet the organic seed industry hasn't really developed here in the Hawaiian Islands. There's a statewide effort through the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative to see that happen. We're proud to collaborate in that project as well. And for people who are interested in business opportunities, the Go Farm Hawaii program coming up this spring, well, certainly seed growing is one niche in the market that certainly could be filled and could be very prosperous. So we want to look at these opportunities, and what a better time to get started than right here in the beginning of the year. And we're going to look at the possibilities of scheduling a seed crop. And there are a lot of considerations about this. And Robin and I have tried to consider some of the factors in terms of taking care of a seed crop from start to finish, considering planting schedules, the celestial influences, the seasonal influences, the varietal influences, and we're going to lay it down for you right now.
We think we came up with a pretty good plan. So, yes, this is our attempt to marry opportunities in both of the planting calendars. And as it turns out, this Sunday, everybody, February 1st, it's our day, okay? It's our day. So you got a few days to get yourself ready. We are going to suggest, and Paul and I are both committed to doing it too, so we'll all be doing this together at the same time. And we will let you know how our results came out. And, you know, changing the tide of seeds in our world is a really big project. And what I learned is the best place to start is right in my own backyard and learn the principles and learn how to do this so that little by little I can share that information with others and more people can become seed sufficient, let's say, and we won't have the dependency on Franken seeds that the world's food has right now. So, on that note, Sunday, February 1st in the Hawaiian moon calendar is the day the moon called Hua. And maybe, Paul, you'd be best to explain Hua.
Well, Hua means fruit or seed in Hawaiian. And Hua is a very auspicious planting day in general. It's actually a great day for planting any fruit-bearing trees, but also good for, if from the traditional perspective, if the desire is to have gourds with many seeds inside, then planting them on a hua moon, which is really the beginning of the full moon period, is very beneficial and recommended. So hua, seed, fruit, this is what we're shooting for in our seed crop. It's in honor of the traditional wisdom of this island. There's a beautiful Hua Moon chant that we'll be sharing with you as Hua Moon actually falls on a garden show day. I will pull that one out that I learned from Kumu Kehaulani Kekua. And certainly one of the most revered planting days and a very auspicious start. And then auspicious as well because of how well it lined up with the biodynamic calendar.
That's right. February 1st, the moon will be in Gemini, which marks the beginning of the descending moon phase, which is the planting time. Gemini is an air sign, so that's a day to work with our flowers. And both of the plants that we're going to talk about here for our example seed crop will obviously make flowers before they make seeds. However, the idea that it's a dry day is the most important piece here. Water signs and earth signs are considered wetter, and air signs and fire signs are considered drier. And the dry days are what we're after for good seed production. So we've talked about the time. Now we're going to talk about the plants. Firstly, we'd like to discuss a bean crop. A bean crop. So basically, you can choose whatever bean it is you'd like more seeds of. There's a lot to choose from out there, but we will suggest choosing just one variety.
I know I'll be choosing pole beans this time of year because of the wetness of the area in which I'll be cultivating the ground. And pole beans lift their foliage high above the ground, which make them much less susceptible to fungal or other leaf-based disease or even pest problems.
The downy mildew. Well, you know, in that case, I'll choose the bush bean. I thought about doing a pole bean, but I just can't grow them well in my garden. I don't know what, they just don't like my place. So I'll do a bush bean because I live where it's dry and there'll be no problem. And also I'm sure I'll get a crop where I'm not so sure I'll get a crop of pole beans.
Fantastic.
So beans are 60 to 70 days to maturity. Now, what that really means, and this is a days to maturity is a little vague. We've talked about this a little bit before. But it's to the first harvest, basically. So that's in the case of beans is your snap beans that you're going to take in to the kitchen and eat, which I recommend you can do with the first bunch of beans because you want to make sure that you really like this variety enough that you're going to want to collect seed to grow in the future. So 60 to 70 days to first harvest, we need to add another, I'm saying 20 to 30 days for fully dry pods to be on the plant. But it will probably be even longer than that, maybe beginning from 20 to 30 days. Mm. Now, the thing with beans is if you stop harvesting them and they start to dry seed, they are an annual. So they're basically going to decide, okay, I've done my job. I've made some seeds. Now it's okay for me to die. Right? Mm-hmm. So during the growing period, we want to remove any off-type plants. Now, I'm suggesting a minimum population size or a minimum of 5 plants. Does that sound about right to you, Paul?
Sounds right. I have to double check my, I did not check the resources on that one.
I think
there,
it's
there
more
are different recommendations based on different calculations that people have on the minimum population size.
That's right. That's right. But I thought 5 sounded good enough that some small gardeners may feel that they have space in their own gardens to pull this off. So what that means is we'll be eating our first beans around Easter, and we'll be harvesting our seeds basically in early May. And what I've got in the calendar is May 7th through 9th will be fruit days in the biodynamic calendar on the ascending moon, which is going to be the time to harvest seeds. But we'll get another window from May 11th through May 13th when the moon will be in a flower sign, which is another dry day. Again, we're both planting and harvesting on these drier days. Mm-hmm. And I think that coincides pretty nicely with the Hawaiian moon calendar, doesn't it, Paul?
I think it does. It's what days are we talking again?
Well, I was saying early May. Now,
Well, Hua moon comes up around again on the 2nd of May.
The 2nd of May.
Yes. So while the recommendations from the Hawaiian moon calendar are traditionally for the planting period, the celebration of the seed, and on that Hua moon, the moon appears to be a seed in terms of its shape. So we'll see. And really, the local conditions always trump any of these celestial influences. So while the biodynamic calendar may say it's a dry day, we'll see.
We'll see if it's not raining that day.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, well.
So we've got the beans. Do we want to mention the second crop as well?
Of course. Of course. I thought tomatillos would be a really good plant to talk about, but they are closely related to and very similar to poha berries, mm-hmm. which are very popular here in the islands too. So one or the other would work out just fine. Again, planting on February 1st.
Yes.
The seed day, the day of the egg.
Now, when you say planting, are we talking transplanting now or germinating the seed? Because our beans, we are direct seeding. So the seeding of the crop and the planting of the crop are one and the same, whereas tomatillo, we may choose to grow them in the nursery first.
That's right. That's how I usually do it, although people, you could broadcast some tomatillo seeds out and then thin them later, but from transplant, again, days to maturity, when we're talking about plants that are transplanted, is from the day of transplant. So we will assume that people have started some tomatillos and are ready to put them into the garden soil on February 1st.
So that would mean, like, start them yesterday or today.
Yeah, yeah, you need about 10 days.
Okay, we'll get on it.
And they are 90 to 100 days to maturity, both for poha berries and tomatillos. And that's to first harvest, which in the case of tomatillo would mean seeds because of fully matured fruit.
Mm-hmm. Now, these fruits are going to be a bit more forgiving of what day we harvest them based on the moisture in the atmosphere, because they are encased inside a fleshy fruit. And so whereas it may be less favorable to harvest your dry shelled beans on a wet day, it's a bit less important when you're collecting the fleshy fruits.
That's right. And I say definitely give yourself a week to make and eat some green chili sauce with those tomatillos before you bother collecting the seeds from them. But you also want a nice population on these plants as well. Mm. You know, I'd say a minimum of 4 plants. That sure is a lot of tomatillos or poha berries. Mm. But the reason is that they're not, because they're going to cross. They are self-perfect flowers and they will self-pollinate. But the idea here is to collect from several plants and pool your seeds together so that you have a mix. But again, you want to pay attention to your plants growing, making sure that there are no off types or disease problems. And if there are, I would recommend roguing or removing those plants from the population before they start, don't add them to your
seed
pooled
collection.
Seeds. That's right.
Right on. Well, this sounds really good, Robin. I'm looking forward to this experiment. I may choose for the poha berry because, again, tomatillos don't seem to do very well in a high rainfall area from my experience, but maybe I just haven't tried the right variety yet.
That's right. And just to add to this really quickly, another hua moon in late May. So you just said May 2nd, but that will come around again. Hua will come around on May 31st. So that will be a second great time and give you plenty of salsa making from your tomatillos before you collect those seeds. You can blend the fruits in some water in a blender on low speed and then float them in a whole bowl of water, and the good viable seed will sink to the bottom of the bowl. It's a really easy way to clean and collect your tomatillo seed.
Mm. Delicious. Well, I hope we've inspired you to join us in this experiment with some seed saving. We're proud to announce that the next seed and plant exchange is coming up on Sunday, March 22nd. It's going to be held at the Ainaho Community Park, home of Kauai Mini Golf. So thanks to Crystal, Bino, Jordan, everybody there at the team for inviting us to come and bring the seed exchange there. We're really excited to be sharing it with all of you. And time for just one other announcement. The Project Learning Tree Workshop Environmental Education Activity Guide for pre-K through 8 students. That's what you'll get at the workshop coming up Saturday, January 31st from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's going to be held at the NTBG headquarters in Kalaheo. If you want more information, you can go to malamakauai.org. Or for help with registration, call Tiona at 828-0685, extension 116.
This has been In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts, Robin and Paul. And we'd like to thank our guests on the show today, Eric Hansen. Thanks so much, Eric.
Mahalo, mahalo.
And he's got lots of ways to connect with him. You can reach him at the OSET office at 245-0129. Check out gofarmhawaii.org or email Eric at ewhansen@hawaii.edu. And please tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.